service desk.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Kim. And that's all there is tonight.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've had kind of just a solo show, it seems.
Yeah, we've had some excellent guests, but yeah, it's nice to have just a little chat with you and I once in a while. How was your day today?
You know, it started out nice, you know, doing some nice project work, which is, you know, a good change of pace from just tickets all the time.
Oh yeah, it feels good to get something actually accomplished as opposed to just like breaking all the things.
Exactly. And then a big like high critical hit the queue, and so I was stuck on that for like 2 hours.
Oh boy. Is it like simple things when that happens usually, or is it like, oh no, the world is ending?
It's kind of all different. Like this one was, oh, suddenly someone is showing up that needs data and I don't really know how to do this, so we just need you there. So it's time critical.
Oh, okay.
Other times, yeah, it is like the network is completely down and we need you to work with the networking team to figure out what's going on.
Oh boy, so you get to do all the things.
More of a facilitator, you know. So the help desk goes, did you try to turn it off and on again? And then they say yes. And the help desk goes, well, that's about all we got. So.
Oh, and by the way, these 70 people have also called in to complain, just so you know. No pressure.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I'm very familiar with that, but yeah.
What about your day?
It was pretty good. I've just having really weird issues that are very specific to individuals that there's no real good way to troubleshoot. And so then it just ends up being really awkward as you just go through the, well, how many ways can I imagine that this possibly could have happened? And then basically saying, well, we don't have any log files. We don't have any way for you to look at this. We can't reproduce it on demand.
Oh, I hate those.
So good luck. I had a lot of those today. And thankfully, most of the people were like, well, it only happened a few times. So, you know, if it happens again, we'll call you. But just, you know, make a note that it happened. And it's like, okay, so I accomplished a lot here today. Thanks.
I actually have a few tickets that are one of those things where this is an intermittent issue that you cannot reproduce at will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they just stay open forever.
And then when you try and reach out to the user, they never call you back. So it's just like, and then you close it, and then like a month later, they call in. Why is the ticket closed?
And you're yeah, like, well, give me something to work with, and I will help you. Until then, there's not a problem.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So I just had a lot of those kind of really irritating things. And then some training stuff that was good. So
I always like training.
It can be interesting. Like, just the...
Yeah.
I'm branching out a little bit. Like, I've spent my 6 months or whatever learning the base product, and now I get to go and, like, how does it work with this other thing? How does it work with that other thing? Which is always helpful in the troubleshooting.
That's true. That's something new, too, is I'm thinking I am going to try and get my CCNA in routing and switching.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
That is essentially, well, it's just a kind of certification, right?
It's from Cisco.
Okay.
So it certifies that you know how to use their network, but because pretty much every single company in the world uses Cisco, it's a good thing to have on your resume. And plus, it's just good for learning the basics in networking, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of the step above entry level.
Yeah.
And then a step below professional. So it's called their associates level.
You're learning all of the intricacies of doing, like, setting up a switch and getting all the people and...
Yeah. The big thing is I need to relearn subnetting, which is something I haven't done since college, which is back in, like, you know... Wow.
2 years ago?
Like, in 2006.
Oh, my goodness.
No, 2008. 2008 or 9. Yeah.
Wow, it's actually been 10 years ago for you.
I know.
So long, Andrew.
I'm old. I'm almost 29.
Oh, wow. You poor man. How will you ever survive?
I'm withering away. So.
Yeah. Hello, I'm 36. It's great. You do not wither away and die at 30, I promise.
I'm glad to hear. I do plan on my 30th birthday. I want to do a will signing ceremony, where I want to hire like a lawyer to wherever we're going, and everyone is going to be able to create a will if they want.
That is an idea.
I just heard about it once, and I was like, yes, that needs to happen.
Well, so. Okay then. I look forward to coming to your will signing party.
Hey, you can't just mooch off me just because you want free legal work.
Fair.
But anyways, let's get back on topic here. So I have some cool news that I read in the articles today.
Ooh, what did you find?
Are you familiar with Raspberry Pis?
Mm-hmm. They are these small little boards that are programmable to do a whole bunch of different things, depending on what little doodads you have to attach to them.
Yeah, they're basically like little mini, like simple computers.
Mm-hmm.
And you can like make them. They're basically for anyone that's interested in hobby work. So like if you want to create like a mirror, which runs a monitor behind the mirror, which displays like the weather and Facebook updates and Twitter feed. And then that way, whenever you look at the mirror, you'll see the display behind the mirror. You can create that. Or, you know, there's little things like even just creating like a file server or a Minecraft server.
You can do a Minecraft server on a Raspberry Pi?
Well, it all depends on what you plug into it, yeah.
Oh, well, I suppose if you plugged in enough storage, that would work. Okay.
True. But they're really, really small chips, you know, and they're cheap, too. They're very affordable, you know. They're not some, like, $80 device. They're $30.
And that's for a kit. That's not just the board. That usually comes with a few wires and some, like, LED lights so that you can learn to program to do, make it flash or to make it do, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. I think every kid in school today should get a Raspberry Pi. I think that'd be really cool.
I think it would be too.
Or at least if they took like a computer class. But anyways, the company that makes them, or one of the companies that makes them, they opened up a Raspberry Pi store, like an actual brick and mortar store.
Interesting.
Which I thought was kind of a cool shift in...
It's like we're going full circle. We went Radio Shack to like bigger stores, online, because nobody wants to go to the bigger stores. And now it's like some of the online stuff is getting their own store. Like ThinkGeek is getting real estate and GameStop. And now Raspberry Pi has their thing and Apple stores are a thing.
Yeah. And like Amazon is even getting brick and mortar.
Yep. Yep.
I just think it's really cool that, you know, it's hopefully going to appeal to an audience that, so it's going to have like computers and stuff in the store that you can actually like take a Raspberry Pi, plug into it, and do stuff with it. So you can learn what you can do with a Raspberry Pi.
Okay.
Yeah, so
it's kind of like a maker space kind of situation.
Kind of, just focused towards selling the one device. Mm-hmm. But I hope it would be, it's a move towards shops that people will wander across that will be like, huh, you know, I never thought about making a project like this. Or like, if a 3D printer store opened up, you know, near downtown, someone might walk by and be like, huh, you know, I never realized that I can make knitting needles and, you know, pot handles and stuff like that with a 3D printer.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought that was just some nerdy thing.
Well, it is kind of nerdy, but it's fun. And I really enjoy that, like, especially when it comes to replacing pieces of things. Like, how many times do you have a broken thing that's really only a chunk of it is broken? And if you could replace it, you've then replaced your piece without having to go pay for a whole new whatever.
Yeah. Like handles or doorknobs or even just little doohickeys like a phone stand for your desk.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Heaven knows that there's been enough phones that I've seen where people are just like, oh, well, it doesn't stand up anymore. It's broken. Like, no, you don't have to throw it away. But we do because.
So, yeah.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Well, that's really cool. I like that idea.
Hopefully, I hope to see these hobby shops open up more and more. And we're seeing that with, like you said, the maker spaces earlier, where it's just like a place that you might pay to go into, and then you just have all these different tools and computers and fun gadgets.
Yeah, and sometimes they have special events at those spaces where you can, you know, they'll teach you how to do a certain kind of project, or they'll...
Yeah,
whatever. So, yeah, they're really cool. Anywho. But instead of, you know, making something productive, let's go play games, Andrew. I want to go play Overwatch.
Yeah. Ooh. What's your favorite character?
So far, the only thing I think I've killed anybody with is Reaper.
Ooh, he's a little more difficult, so good job.
Yay! I feel accomplished.
Or at least I think so. Maybe I'm just horrible.
Well,
but yes.
I've played like 3 times, so you know. But anyway, so playing games on a computer can sometimes be a little bit confusing. How do you know, like, what it takes to play a game on your computer? Like, what do you need, Andrew? You're more gamer than I.
I think you need just like some cords and you tie them together. You tie them together and, you know.
we'll get the inner tubes going.
You ask your mom and dad for their credit cards so you can buy it on Steam.
Ah, yes, Steam, the marketplace of all the games.
Yes.
There are video games like what my dad plays, which are just browser-based, like Candy Crush and things like that. And for him, I have yet to actually make him use this, but ad blockers are huge.
Yes.
If you're going to play, especially like Jonah likes to play IO games. So there's like Slither.io and...
Yeah, that's kind of the big culture right now.
And they're really nice because they don't take much for system resources. Like, you can play them on a Chromebook, which does not have much of anything as far as...
So pretty much anything that you're going to do, like, in your browser is going to be a very low-intensive, for the most part, game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The only thing you have to watch out for with those... is that you might need some special, like, you might need to get Java installed, which isn't something that is normally, you laugh about it, but Java isn't really used for a lot of things nowadays.
No, and Java is actually not, they're trying to get it out of everything because it is so exploitable that, like, a lot of the big bad malware came from Java being exploitable, and people would be able to slip it into the latest update, or, like, for a while there were malicious Java update tools that would look like Java, and they would say you need to update, and then you'd end up downloading some terrible virus. So that was fun. But I say ad blockers, like uBlock Origins is the one that I've been using. It doesn't affect the use of your browser as much, but it does a really good job of popping up and saying don't go to this site. Well, even Google's doing better at that now, but that's where you get a lot of your issues is like the site itself and the game itself will load okay, but it's all of those ads that are running alongside that can potentially be malicious. And those ads will significantly slow down some of the speeds on your computer, because if you have your game and then you have like 5 ads off to the side that are all trying to play little videos or songs or whatever they're doing, it can just eat all of the resources that your browser is trying to use, and then nothing works, and it sucks.
Mm-hmm. So yes, definitely, if you're going to do any sort of real, I'm just going to put a blanket statement out there. Just go out right now, search uBlock Origins, and just download it, or install it into your browser.
Yeah.
Because even if you're not a gamer, it's just, like we've talked about in one of our first episodes, it's just going to be able to be there, and it's going to protect you.
Yep, yep, yep.
If you find a website that... you want to, you know, you say, you know, but Andrew, I want to support the creators. I want to support the website. Any of these places, you can do a right click and add an exception.
Exactly. But, and with most, I think every browser, it'll have a little icon up in the bar that'll say, I don't know, it never looks like what I think it's going to look like, but uBlock Origins right now looks like a little red shield. And so you just click on that and then it'll give you options from there. But yeah, so
yes, where would you go to find? Do you just Google online games?
Well, for the IO games, normally it's something .io. So I would Google .io games or games.io or something like that. I don't even know, but I don't have
a few other hotspots are like I don't know if it's still a huge one. Newgrounds had a lot when I was growing up for online games.
That was mostly Java based though.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know that that's still a
thing. Man, I don't even know where... I'm assuming you could probably just Google HTML5 games.
Let's find out.
Okay. Another place is Facebook, but you just got to be careful. Make sure you're not getting some weird, you know, Russian-made video game or, you know, browser game.
Oh, that's funny. I literally Googled HTML5 games, and yeah, you can find all kinds of games that way.
Yeah, but just make sure, you know, like, if you do just Google and check, make sure you have the ad blocker in, and just use some common sense. Don't go on games that just, or websites that just seem really sketchy.
Yeah, I don't like to do browser-based games so much anymore, partially because of that. There's just too many that are questionable at best. But there are places you can go to get games, like Steam, we mentioned earlier, that it has a very large catalog of games. And Steam is really great because they have a lot of sales as well.
Yes, the big ones that I'll just point out at the start here would be Steam, Origin, Battle.net, and then Uplay and Twitch. And then now Epic Launcher, which is the people that make Fortnite. They're making a big push to be really competitive with Steam.
That's interesting.
That's another one. But the big one that you would want to get, just to start out with, even if you've never done gaming before, just download Steam. Like you said, they have sales all the time. But all of those kind of had their specialty. Steam is a little bit more in general, where it has like everything. Whereas like Origin is just EA games. Battle.net's just Blizzard. Uplay is just
Ubisoft.
You know, the different ones are kind of like movie studios.
Uplay is Ubisoft.
But yeah, so just download
one of those.
Download Steam. You go to steampowered.com and you just make an account, download the launcher. There's a giant library you can go through.
Exactly.
And you should just find something that looks interesting. You can sort by price, genre.
I got Uno. I'm pretty excited. I've never played that before online. But
yeah, there's even games like that. I mean, you don't even think about it, but there's board games on, you know, stuff like this. It's not just first-person shooter. So you get Steam. You find a game you like. What would you do to see if you can run it? Because, you know, different games have different requirements.
Well, it kind of depends on the game that I'm looking at. Like Uno, I'm probably not going to worry about. I'm just going to assume that I can play it. But when it comes to something that might be a bit more graphics intensive, like Assassin's Creed has some amazing graphics. Like they have almost picture quality. Like it looks like a real situation, real people. They're going to have much higher standards. And for me, like I was out looking at Assassin's Creed Odyssey. There we go. That's the newest one. Because it's set back in Greek time. And I love me a Greek and a Roman myth area, but I could not for the life of me find the system requirement. So what I actually had to do was go Assassin's Creed Odyssey system requirement. So I think that's probably the easiest way is just to Google specific game name system requirements. And then that was the first thing that came up.
I do also want to point out there's a website called systemrequirementslab.com. You can also find it by just searching, can you run it? But you basically, you type in the name of a game, you click, can you run it? You allow a download. This is one of those times when it's okay. And it's going to scan your computer for you.
Oh my gosh, that's way easier.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of my favorite tools. I've used it since I was gaming back in the XP days, you know, early 2000s.
What was that called again? Game Lab?
SystemRequirementsLab.com. Or just run, or just Google search, can you run it?
Interesting.
Or can I run it?
That's fascinating.
But yes, no, I've used this many times before. And it will tell you, yes, you can run it, but you're probably not going to be happy with the performance. Or no, you just plain can't do it. Or yes, you're perfect.
Yeah.
And it will even give you suggestions like, if you want to run it, go out and buy this.
Oh, well, that's super duper handy. But yeah, I was going to say that normally they do give you a minimum requirement for whatever game that you're looking at. And 9 times out of 10, if you only meet the minimum requirements, you do not want to actually try to play the game because it will not run anywhere near what you need it to really succeed in the game. Really frustrating.
Yeah, I'd agree for the most part. If you're okay with playing with like really minimal graphics and you're okay, you know, putting down the quality a lot, then that might be okay for you. But if you want just even just middle of the road graphics and you're meeting the minimum, you're not going to have a good time.
Exactly. It can be very frustrating if you can't play the game. And I know a lot of games anymore, you have to have the graphics at a certain point to be able to see everything well enough to do the thing. So, yeah, I don't recommend actually trying to use minimum requirements as minimum. I prefer to use the recommended usually as the minimum, because otherwise it just gets too much. And like right now I'm looking at this Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and like the minimum requirements, it's asking for an Intel Core i5. So that's kind of like, for most games that you're going to want to run on your computer, it's going to be somewhere around there for the base. And if you want to have really good time, probably an i7, or like these are, it also lists other processors, which is really nice. Some places don't do that, but like an AMD FX 6300, which in 3 years' time, this is going to be ridiculous, but that's okay.
So let's get into talk about that. So the different parts of your computer are going to play a different role, or different roles in, you know, what you can and cannot do. The big pieces that are going to be the big yes or no are going to be your processor, RAM, and video card for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three things that you kind of need to meet a minimum. Everything else that we're going to mention is kind of more just user preference.
Right.
But when it comes to your processor, I have to apologize. I don't really know a lot about AMD. I'm not really an AMD guy.
Well, Intel's made it super easy anymore with their versions.
Their i-series.
Yeah, because it's i3, i5, i7. i7 is higher end. i5 is mid. i3 is don't bother playing games on this because you're not going to have a good time.
And within each of those i-series, there's going to be different versions and different clock speeds. And I can't think of the actual word off the top of my head, but you're going to have different things in there. So an i5 might be as expensive as an i7 because it's at the
top end of the i5 spectrum. Or it might be a newer version. I do know that different generations of them, like basically everything is getting faster. And like today's i3 is probably equivalent to like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe not i7, but maybe an i5, you know. So
just rule of thumb, though, if you want to kind of get into gaming, or you're building a computer for someone that is a gamer, or buying parts, an i5 and above is a good bet.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
When it comes to RAM is going to be an important part as well, probably a little bit more than a processor, I would say.
To an extent, yeah. I mean, if you have something with like 4 gigabytes of RAM, which will run like base, maybe a Word document, Chrome.
Yeah.
You can play solitaire, probably, maybe.
Yeah. So nowadays, I wouldn't even buy a computer with less than 8.
I really wouldn't either, to be honest.
And if you're going to be gaming, we're going to disagree a little bit here.
I know.
I would say go for 16 gigs. You had a different preference of a
32 is my like
32.
I really like. Which, okay, so here's my deal.
You're never going to have to upgrade.
No,
I would say then.
Well, no, you'd have to upgrade the whole computer before you had to do much else.
Yeah.
But my thing is, like, if you are looking at doing anything that's heavy gaming, or even if you're just doing a crap ton of Excel spreadsheets, like, having RAM makes a huge difference in the speed of your machine. And so does having a solid state hard drive, to be perfectly honest. So if you're doing this kind of stuff and you're worried about load times taking a long time, or you're worried about is your computer going to be able to stand up to it, like 32 gigabytes will be able to play any game that you can possibly come up with. Now, 16 is fine for most things. 8 will get you through, but
So I'm a big gamer, and I am very shameful in saying that I have yet to upgrade, and I have 6.
What?
And I hate it. Ugh.
Yeah.
That's my big bottleneck.
I can't imagine playing on 6 gigabytes of RAM.
Yeah, it's actually rough. The next part of the whole system is going to be your video card.
Yeah.
This is going to be...
And now is a good time to buy them finally again.
Exactly. Because Bitcoining, which is what... Or crypto coin mining is what used video cards.
It killed the market.
And it just made the market... so bad. Like, you would have to spend like $500 for a minimum.
Exactly.
But you're gonna want to get, probably if you want to get something that's really compatible, pretty much any game coming out is going to be good with it. NVIDIA,
yeah,
any of the GeForce series graphics cards,
right?
They're really geared towards kind of the gaming route of things. They're compatible with pretty much everything. Anything I would say in that series, like at minimum a 7 something, but you're probably going to want to get up there in the 9 or even the 10 series.
Yeah, I would say for most things, like right now, like somewhere in the NVIDIA 900 range,
yeah,
is good. I know that some people really enjoy having like way more than they need for everything. So that's, you know, I'm kind of one of those people.
I am going to say the graphics card is one thing that I would urge you to splurge on and buy more than you think you would ever need.
Mm, yeah.
Because it's going to be overpower for you right now. But 5 years down the line, you're going to be like, wow,
I can still play this.
Thank you. Yeah. I can still play new games being released.
Yeah.
So if you're going to splurge on a piece of your equipment, get a good graphics card and it's going to last you.
And like my way of figuring out, because all of this across the board is going to change month by month almost, is just to go and search. Like I really like PC Mag or Tech Radar and the way they compare things. And so
yeah,
like if you just go and Google best graphic card of 2019, you'll be able to get a good range of prices and then of the ability of them. So like just pulling this up, like it goes from $135 for one of their recommended graphics cards that's on a budget gaming list all the way up to $1,200 for something I've never heard of, an XFX Radeon 580 GTS. I've never heard of that one before. But the speeds are off the charts, so you know. Yeah.
And like you said, this is going to change month to month.
Mm-hmm. And it completely depends upon what people are coming out with, what the market is doing. You know, if you've got another round of cryptocurrency being a thing, all these prices are going to go through the roof again. And it uses the graphics memory on these cards to process the whatever they were doing for the crypto mining kind of things.
Yeah.
So consequently, you look at the RAM in your machine, you also look at the memory on the card. And so generally speaking, you want at least 4 gigabytes on your card as well. All of these are 6 and above. Wow. But these are also like hardcore gaming. So
yeah,
it just kind of depends on what you are trying to play and what kind of quality you want.
Next piece of hardware would be your hard drive.
Oh yeah.
If you want something that loads fast, get a solid state.
They are significantly more expensive.
They're not going to really directly affect the performance of the game past the loading time.
Exactly.
So you're not going to like run faster. It's just you're going to get into things faster. You're going to start it up faster or load into the next zone faster if you're playing that kind of game.
Exactly.
But go for a large one. If what I do is I go for a kind of a smaller solid state, maybe 200 some gigs, and I put games that I know I'm going to want to get into fast or ones that I'm going to play a lot, and I'll put that on there. And then I have games that I'm going to play less often or ones that are maybe more solo, and I'm going to put that on like a terabyte spinner drive, which is cheaper. And it has a lot of space, so I can put a whole bunch of games on it.
Oh, yeah. And that's kind of the way, like, if you go to buy a gaming laptop, that's kind of the way they're built anymore, is they will generally have a 258 gigabyte solid state and then some ridiculously large regular hard drive to back it up.
Mm.
And, like, what I personally do is I use the backup hard drive kind of more for my storagey stuff. So like all of my videos and my pictures and my all of that go to the backup drive. And then if there's anything I want to really launch fast, I put that like my
on the solid
state. My OS is on my solid state, for instance. My Windows drive is there.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So it does take a little bit of kind of understanding how your file system works to be able to move it back and forth between them. I do know that gets to be a bit confusing sometimes, and it might be worth just spending some time with your computer and trying to figure out, like, how do I do this? And doing maybe some Google videos or some YouTube videos to help you figure it out. But yeah.
Past that, the next big things, obviously, are probably going to be your keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
This is very user preferenced. So some people heavily. Like mechanical keyboards, which are, you know, the clickety-clackety. Some like a more membrane keyboard, which is the kind of usually cheaper, you know?
So the reason for the mechanical that I've heard for gamer reasons anyway, is that it gives you more response so you can tell that you've clicked the key, whereas the membrane True. Are a bit more mushy. And so if you are, you know, you specifically have to make sure you hit that S key at the exact same time to be able to set off whatever explosion or whatever you're doing, the mechanical keyboards will let you feel that you've done it, whereas the membrane keyboards, maybe you did, but you can't tell if you pressed hard enough. There's not that rebound from the kickback yeah. of the key, which sounds really super nitpicky, but it's kind of, it can be very helpful even when you're typing to be able to feel those keys respond True. To you.
And with both of these, you're going to want to go probably wired. It'll just keep things faster. You don't have to worry about batteries.
Or interference, because I love my wireless everything because of my mobility. But at the same time, like, I had a time when I could not use my wireless keyboard with my computer because there was some electrical something in the wall in that particular location.
Huh.
So that was fun to figure out.
Yeah. And then on the mouse, having some extra buttons that you can map and make do certain things. And the same with the keyboard. Just having kind of extra buttons that you can do certain things within the games. They're kind of, think of them as like shortcuts.
Mm-hmm. And most games will have somewhere in their settings a way to map the keys to whatever you want them to do. So, you know, if you don't like the WASD movement for your keys,
yeah.
you can change it to something else. And that's completely personal preference. I don't use my buttons on my mouse outside of the three and the scrolling, and that's enough for me. But
I use my mouse with the two. I have one with a few extra.
Mm-hmm.
I use them sometimes. The big thing on my mouse that I do, though, is it has a DPI switcher,
oh.
which is how fast your mouse moves across the mm-hmm. screen. So I can do up and down actively, and I can set the different step intervals. So if I'm like sniping in a game and I want it to be super slow, I can just change it, you know, and make it go super slow. But then if I need to go and get super responsiveness, I can kick that up on the fly.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
So the DPI, it's dots per inch, I think.
But yeah, it's just basically how kind of fast your mouse can move, or your little arrow, your cursor can move across the screen, and how smooth it is.
Yeah. So the higher the DPI, that's, it's going to move more quickly and you're going to have better responsiveness, as opposed to sometimes, I don't know if you've ever been on like grandma's computer that you gave her 10 years ago and she's still using, and like the mouse just takes forever to move across the screen because the yeah. DPI rating at that time was just like, it's a mouse and it functions, deal with it.
And then finally, kind of the last big thing that I would worry about is just the monitor. You want something that's kind of on the wider side of things, so not really square. I would say 24 inches is a good one. And then I would look it up at the time. This kind of changes, but I would go for something that is like an LED. And then you're going to want to make sure that it has a good... This is completely subjective. There is no industry standard, actually. Every single company does it differently.
Yes.
But you're going to want something with a deep blackness level to it. I'm not even going to get into that. But just look it up. See what's recommended at the time for a good gaming monitor. And you'll see the different stats. But
well, and now there's like 4K and there's different...
Yeah.
And they will try to sell you like gold-plated HDMI cables and all of these kind of things to say that the responsiveness is going to be better and the clarity is going to be better and yada yada. The cable does matter to an extent, but it's not going to change your lower grade yeah. monitor to something greater than it is.
No.
Just a normal HDMI cable is
or even in the near future, USB-C.
Yes, USB-C is definitely going to be the way everything goes. And that is just like, I don't know. It's a little tiny oval.
There's
no wrong way to put it in, which is nice. But the thing is that the USB-C ports can be used for everything. So it can be a charge port, it can be a monitor port, it can be a microphone port. It's just kind of everything, which is nice in some ways, but I'm going to run out of ports.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, the bigger the numbers on those, like if you have a 2080 by 1080 kind of monitor, that just gives you the resolution. And the more, like the 4K and the 8K, I think you said now, that's coming out, those are those are just variations of numbers that are going to be changing dramatically if we're coming out with 8K. So that's something to look at with your video card, actually, because the video card output,
whether it can support,
will determine what kind of monitor you can have. So those two things have to go together. So, you know, when you're building your machine, just make sure that you look at both of those and go from there. And then the download. Oh, the other thing is internet speed. So if you want to go play Overwatch, you have to have a really good internet connection so that you don't lag out and have to lose because you can't keep up with everybody.
Yeah, I would say if it's kind of just you in the house, anything around 20 and up would be okay. But if you have multiple computers, you're going to want something that's like 50 megabytes, even up to 100. But I wouldn't worry too much past 100.
Yeah. And if you have more than that available to you, that's fantastic. But a lot of places don't, and that's okay. But as long as you have a solid internet connection, and for gaming, a lot of times people prefer to be wired in as opposed to wireless. Like Kate was saying last time, if you're going to stream especially, you do not want to be wireless. You want to make sure that you have a way to wire in. And even for me, like I use a power line adapter on my laptop, and that makes things like recording a podcast and playing Overwatch, it makes those things feasible for me, whereas wireless is a little bit sketchier.
True. So. Well, I think that kind of covers it for an overview.
I think so. And of course, if you have questions, you are always welcome to reach out to us. You can search us on the social medias. We don't have an Instagram, because I don't know what to put out there. But we have Twitter and Facebook and our webpage. But you can search just Service Desk Podcast and find us in all of those locations.
If you want to submit a ticket, you can go ahead and do so by just emailing us at servicedeskpodcast@gmail.com.
Yay.
Yes.
And please, please, please give us some reviews out there on especially iTunes, but Podchaser or wherever you happen to listen, if they let you leave a review, give us some stars and we will be ever grateful, and other people can find our glorious advice.
Exactly. Well, I'm Andrew.
I'm Kim, and we are your techie friends.